Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And here we go with a Wednesday show, the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us. Lots of good stuff today. Some good guests coming your way, but also some audio from last night. Archie Miller was down in Evansville for a talk to IU fans at Evansville Harrison High School. Very similar format, minus the dinner, to what you maybe expect at Huber's when Archie and Coach Allen and others come in the springtime, really late in the spring, to talk IU athletics as a whole, kind of a tour stop. I think it's great to see Coach Miller and really IU as a whole get out to some other parts of the state. The Huber's event is really, I think, one of the only remaining stops that they have working with alumni groups and things like that. The Evansville stop last night was well attended. I think they said around 400 people maybe in attendance at the Shoulders Family Commons, which is, again, part of Evansville Harrison High School. Archie doesn't talk a lot. We've talked about this. He's not a guy of a lot of words. He's not a guy of a lot of emotion. He's not a guy that calls a lot of press conferences. You get to hear from him during the season because you got to hear from him to preview opponents and, of course, after the games for the post-game press conferences. But when he speaks, especially in the offseason in Indiana, you listen if you're a basketball fan. So we're actually going to forego the first segment as far as headlines and things like that go and just play you from his press conference. He had a media availability before he gave the full speech to the fans at Evansville Harrison last night. But before we do that, I do want to pull a snippet from his full – it was a 51-minute talk is what he gave the fans last night in Evansville. But I want to pull about 4 minutes or so of that. He really spent some time answering a question about Romeo Langford. And I just thought he said some really good stuff, covered some really good stuff. And obviously everybody is into Romeo Langford and what's next for him. So we'll start with that. Then we'll get into his full – it was about 11 or 12 minutes of questions and answers from a press conference session, and we'll do both of those in the first segment as we get to the guest lineup here quickly. A little bit later in the program, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com is with us. We'll recap what happened last night. We'll talk a little IU football as well, and then we'll wrap the show up today with News and Tribune sports editor Craig Pearson, and we'll talk some local sports headlines coming out of week one in high school football. Week two coming up Friday night, Floyd Central and Providence is our game of the week, and we'll talk about that and other games with Craig when he joins us a little later today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's start things today, instead of headlines, with about a 4 or so minute clip. This is Archie Miller last night down at Evansville answering a question about Romeo Langford.
Well, let's start by stating the fact that, number one, he comes from a terrific family and background that helped him get to where he got to. When you're that type of iconic figure at some level coming out of high school, it's hard to manage that. And there couldn't be a more humble, down-to-earth family or kid to deal with. I mean, what a pleasure to coach and a great family to deal with throughout the course of the season. Really easy. Tremendous talent, better person, and has so much upside that we would never get to see at Indiana just based on his amount of time at school. Back in the day, if Romeo was a second-year player, third-year player. Could he have made it in the early 90s, late 80s as a fourth-year player like guys did? You would see the all-time leading scorer at Indiana. You would see the all-time Big Ten race be right there. That's where he would have developed into, like so many guys that don't stay in college nowadays. But he's that type of player who really got his first real experience of ups and downs and adversity, and boy, this is hard. His first day on campus in June, July, August, and then he finished in March. If he could have repeated a second year and not gone through all that, man, would you have seen something even more special than you were able to see. He played in the number one conference in the country a year ago. And as a freshman, I believe set almost every mark for freshmen in the league last year. From certain aspects leading into the draft, as we talked to the NBA, his efficiency and points per possession off screens and off ball screens and all this stuff, he was like number one in the country, you know, even ahead or right below guys like Cassius Winston and older players that had been in it. It's just such a unique thing to be on that type of a stage and ridiculed or, you know, nitpicked apart at 18 when, man, if his name would have been Mike Smith, everyone would have been like, what a great season he had, what this, that. He had a great year for us. He played injured with a torn thumb ligament, which was suffered before we went to Duke. He played every game and never missed a practice after he did his thumb and decided not to have surgery, just to play through it, and at the end of the year, he would have that fixed, which he did, which hurt his draft workouts. I don't necessarily know if it hurt his draft status a whole lot, but he was taken out of the individual kind of competition things when a lot of guys were trying out and competing. But we knew anywhere from 7, 15, somewhere in there, he was going to go. And what a great opportunity he got being drafted number one in the lottery and number two to the Boston Celtics. I mean, great organization, unbelievable leadership. You got Brad Stevens as the coach who's conditioned to know young people coming in. They're about development, and they're good. And he's around winners. He's around pros early in his career. So that's a great opportunity for him. And I expect Romeo to, you know, be as good as he wants to be, because that's what he can do. And he'll be back next week, I think. Sometimes he says he's coming back, and he doesn't come back. And sometimes he's not supposed to be back, and he's back. But he's been back a ton to our campus since he's been drafted, which is a great thing to have. You know, he could be anywhere right now, but he comes back and he doesn't want to get a hotel room. I guess he doesn't want to pay for it. So he sleeps on Rob Finnessy's couch. That's what you're dealing with. You know, that's what you got. That's what you kind of have right now. You know what I mean? You got a young guy that comes back and wants to come back and hang out with his former guys and see what's going on, and he sleeps on a teammate's couch. You know, that's the cool thing about it. But we're looking forward to obviously watching him progress. And then as he gets a little older and wiser, we continue to bring him back. But he'll be a great advocate for not only our program, he'll be a great advocate for IU and the state for a long, long time.
Archie Miller on Romeo Langford, that's from his speech last night to IU fans down at Evansville-Harrison High School. Really good stuff for people that said Romeo wanted to get away from Indiana. He's back sleeping on the couch of Rob Finnessy, even though he's a lottery pick for the Celtics. And I, over the weekend we saw Calbert Chaney and Brian Evans, and of course Victor Oladipo, who headlined the fantasy camp. That is one thing, despite coaching changes at Indiana, the former players go back, and I give full hats off to Archie Miller for including players, finding ways to get guys back on campus, and obviously with the job he has with recruiting and coaching, there's not a lot of free time just to sit there and call alumni and get their opinion and invite them back. But he's found a way to get at least some of the key ones back so far in his time at Indiana. And the fact that Romeo already coming back to spend time there, to work out there on and off the court as a Boston Celtic, is big stuff for the program. And you heard him say he thinks he'll be an advocate for the program and really for the state of Indiana for a long time to come. That's great stuff. And let's hope that his NBA career aids in his being an advocate for the state. Already he's done things the right way, so many ways, but let's hope that the NBA side of things goes well for him as well. Also, from last night, Archie Miller covered a lot of things in the 51-minute speech he had for the fans, and about a 12-minute or so press conference before the actual speech, and I want to play that for you now. He covers so much, talks a lot about Jerome Hunter, which is a touchy subject with the lower leg condition that he has, talks about Indiana, their first workout as a team on Tuesday, lots of different things, including new assistant coach Mike Roberts and what his role is with the program. Really good stuff, and so instead of picking and choosing a couple things, here's the full 12-minute clip. You're going to get the question from the media member, followed by the answer from Coach Miller.
Archie, any updates on Jerome and how he's progressing as kind of the summer's gone along?
Yeah, Jerome finished the, our summer program, and you know, he pretty much participated in everything that we did. Very little setbacks. Obviously, it's a less intense program just in terms of contact and all of the banging that goes into you know, the actual season, but he's getting ready to start off this fall the same sort of program where he continues to listen to the doctors and the plan that they put on him as a rehab perspective. He's cleared obviously to do everything that he can do with us, and I think it's just kind of a wait and see day by day each week as we add things, and you know, the fall or our preseason gets pretty intense to see what he can handle. And you know, if he needs some time to step away, to rest, recover, whatever that may be, you know, he's got to be honest with that. But we're pleased. He's in a good way personally. And you know, as we get ready to get started, we had our first sort of team workout of the fall today, and he did a nice job. And you know, he's nervous. You know, he's anxious. You know, he's excited. You know, and it's good to see a guy like him have that smile and that eagerness to be a part of what's going on. You know, anytime you deal with any type of an injury and you have to sit and you're removed from activities, it's frustrating. So it's good to see him smile and be in a good, positive way this fall so far.
How's he dealt with the mental aspect of it? Because you take something away from somebody that they've loved.
It's very, very difficult. And in particular, you know, guys handle it in different ways. And you know, for a guy like him, basketball means a lot to him. You know, it's something that's been a part of, you know, his life. You know, one of the reasons he's, you know, able to do what he's doing right now in school, pursuing a degree, has a lot to do with the game of basketball. So all of our guys, but in particular him, you know, you take that thing away from them for the very first time, and they have to realize there's more to, you know, to what's going on than just the game. You watch them adjust. You watch them handle adversity in certain ways. And with all ups and downs, emotional highs and lows, you know, I thought he did a good job, and he worked really hard. You know, he didn't have a normal, hey, I sprained my ankle type of a rehab. He had a lot different type of rehab, which was a lot of trial and error and listening to doctors and trainers. And, you know, sometimes you don't see the, you know, the initial fruits of that type of a rehab, so you have to be patient. And he was, and he's in, like I said, he's in the best place that he could possibly be right now.
I'm going to start down here. What does Coach Roberts bring to the table?
I'm sorry, I missed the question. Can you repeat
it? Coach Roberts, your new assistant?
Oh, yes. You know, we're really, really excited. You know, we took our time as a staff, and me in particular really took our time, and not only doing our research about the perfect fit for what, you know, I want and what I want around our players right now and what we could do to make ourselves better. Mike fit all of those boxes. One, he's a relentless worker. I think if you just study him as a player, and then as his career has unfolded, where he's been, whether that's been a graduate assistant with Coach Knight at Texas Tech or working his way up at California in the Pac-10, moving on to Rice, and then, you know, establishing UNC Greensboro here over the last 7 years as the associate head coach and building a program. He's been involved in a lot, but he's really a grinder in terms of the way that he works. He also has a lot of toughness about him. He's a competitive guy. And I think when you come to Indiana, one of the things that I really have learned to appreciate is a fearlessness. You know, a person that wants to be a part of what's going on at IU, and particularly the basketball program and that tradition, sometimes can, you know, put a little bit of fear in you. Like, wow, you know, I didn't realize it was this important or this big of a deal. And it is. And Mike being able to walk in those shoes as a player, follow Indiana as a fellow coach in the business, and understand that this is where his heart lies, you know, and he's not afraid of that. That's important. That was a very important decision in finalizing that last step. But he's a proven recruiter. He's a proven developer. Takes a lot of pride in our players, which I like. And, you know, he's very shortly, he's been with us a couple days, already made a big imprint on me. And being able to get him in the fold full scale and bringing his family back to Bloomington is really, really exciting.
Coach, a lot of IU faithful here in the Tri-State. Just talk about, I mean, they're so excited to see you and to hear you speak. Just talk about how excited you are and what fans can get out of tonight.
I'm excited. I love Evansville. I really do. It's been one of the places that I've really enjoyed coming down to in my recruiting. The people that I've met here in terms of being not only in town and obviously back on campus, I can get that feeling like I do a lot of places in the state, but in particular Southern Indiana and moving over here, that there's great passion for not only our program, but Indiana University in general. And I think, you know, when you look at the history of our program, it doesn't hurt that Calvert Cheney came out of this town, came out of this school, and had the career that he had, which speaks volumes. And like I say, everywhere I go, we're looking for that next great one. And, you know, we're hoping that Evansville one day can, you know, bring a young guy to our program, and, you know, he can add to the tradition and whatnot.
Coach, you got a couple open scholarships and some big visits coming up over the next several weeks. Talk about your recruiting, where you are, how you feel about that.
Recruiting is never ending, and it's nonstop, and on the way down, you figure more out about recruiting. On the way back tonight, we'll find out more. It never stops. And, you know, we're in a place right now where we're really trying to identify needs, skill level, competitiveness, championship players coming from championship programs are things that we want. And each and every time we feel there's a guy that we bring to our campus and we want him, you know, we have an unbelievable sell, because we have an unbelievable campus. We have an unbelievable school. What's going on in just the last 24 months that I've been around in terms of facilities is incredible. So it's a lot of positives. And once they are able to visit, you know, campus, the city, Bloomington, just in general, it's you leave with a great impression. So we're in a good place, and we have a lot of work to do, but that doesn't change. It never stops.
Coach, just back to, I had a question about Coach Roberts. What is bringing a guy that used to play for Indiana, what does that bring to your team and your players, and what you try to preach to your guys about where they want to go, and for a guy that in a lot of ways has been where they want to go?
Well, I think being a player at Indiana is different than a lot of places. I think, you know, it doesn't really matter where you go. You have unique experiences, but being at Indiana is different. It's a whole different ball of wax. And until you walk through those shoes and understand what it's like to play there, win there, lose there, be there every day, you know, you really can't get a grip on it. And like Mike told me, I was on a national championship team in 2002 that played for it all. I was also on the first team, I think, that had a losing season in 33 years. I've seen it on both ends as a player. And, you know, that resonated with me a little bit, to have a guy that had that perspective, because it's hard. In this day and age, it's a lot different even than when he was there. You know, players and student athletes in general, what they go through on a daily basis right now with the media scrutiny or social media aspects of things, the exposure that they have, there's just a lot of you know, attention given, and there's a lot that they have to absorb. So to have a guy that's been through it, that can talk them through different experiences that he's been through, is only an advantage.
I know every team kind of feels different now that the new guys are kind of integrated into everything. How does this one feel? What's their identity, you think?
I like our team. You know, our team has a great deal of versatility, and our strength obviously is in our size. And just in getting to know these guys and talking to them, you know, humility is going to be a great deal for this team. You know, a humble group that's willing to work, that's willing to care, you know, about, you know, maxing its potential. And that's what we've talked about a lot over the summer, but more importantly, as we've started off this fall, that's been the theme of things, is having great humility as a group. But it's a group, I think, has good versatility. You know, barring, you know, great health, every player on our team should anticipate being a part of a winning culture and having an anticipation that they can impact that thing, you know, every day. There's not a guy that I look at and say, boy, he's got his work cut out for him in terms of getting to the floor. Everybody has an opportunity to play. Now, to earn that and develop that chemistry and culture that a team has to have to go through a season, a long season, you know, we have to work towards that. But we have a good group of guys, and I think as we get ready to get started here this fall, it's a lot less about, you know, the bells and the whistles or the games down the road. It's really about the humble approach that we have every day. And got off to a good start, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Coach Roberts, does he have a specific position group that he's going to focus with? And is it offensive or defensive side of the floor that he would scout or focus on?
The great thing about Mike is Mike's he's wore a lot of hats. He's coached big guys. He's developed a lot of big guys. If you look at his track record through his time at Cal and at Rice, he's coached, you know, NBA players. He's been able to develop guys on the way in, freshman, sophomore, junior years that have played in the NBA. He's also been a guy that's really been an extension of the head coach. Since they've been able to focus in on the defensive side of the ball, developing an offense at Greensboro. The development that they've had there with some of the guys they've recruited from overseas has been really, really unique. And I think he wears a lot of hats. I think as Mike comes in for us, obviously recruiting is priority one, him being able to get his feet on the ground and then impact what we're doing with his advantages and who he has at his fingertips, and then his development, you know, being able to work with different types of players, not just big guys, but being able to work with a lot of different guys. And then as he learns how we do things, you know, our system, you know, defensively, offensively, there's going to be some tweaks, but I think that, you know, as we look at some things, Mike's going to have a hand in everything that we do.
Your two freshmen, how have they adapted and developed over the summer, and what are your hopes in terms of their contribution during the course of the season?
Well, Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin have both done a really nice job of really stepping 2 feet in on the campus and buying in. You know, it's not a huge class. You know, last year at this point in time, we had 5 true freshmen on the campus at one time. That's difficult to navigate early in August and September, October. These two guys are further ahead because they have a little bit of an older element around them. But they've also been really, really low maintenance in terms of what their approach has been. Academically, they're off to a good start. Both in the weight room have made significant gains. Trace has really taken his conditioning as a young front court player to a different level as he's been in the past. His body's changed. And Armand's put on size here early, which he'll continue to have to do as he gets older, bigger, stronger. But they've done a great job in those two areas. And then on the court, just, you know, being willing learners and listeners, watching them. Both guys have a good feel. Both come from really good programs, have been coached in high school. And I think that, you know, they both obviously have bright futures, and we love that they're here. I think they can both really contribute and add an impact to our team this season.
So, Coach, we got to deal with all these UK fans around here. I mean, there's just a few of them. I personally think UK's scared to play us. That's my way of looking at it. But when can we get that game on the schedule? Is that something that's being looked at?
Yeah,
you know, give an update on that.
Yeah, since I got in the job, you know, it's always been a hot topic, mm-hmm. not only with our fans and the media and both universities. It's always been a topic, and it continues to be on the table. I think our administration's done a great job in dealing with, number one, our staff, talking about it daily, talking about it, you know, yearly. What's mm-hmm. the approach with our future schedules? That's always been online. And then the communication with both administrations has been pretty much ongoing. You know, I hope and we hope and I believe that Kentucky hopes as well that that game will reemerge and it'll be a part of both teams' schedule. When that happens really has to deal with two people doing what's best for them. But I do think there's an ongoing dialogue daily that that's something that both Indiana and Kentucky wants. And I know from our administration standpoint and our staff that would be something that would be huge for the buzz in state, our fan bases and whatnot. It'll be it's one of those things that I think college basketball needs more of.
Okay, Jeff, you've got time for one more question, so if you want to get it in.
He was late. He doesn't know. Okay.
And that's basically the press conference. This was before Archie Miller's speech yesterday, last night actually, down in Evansville. Lots of good stuff there. Covered lots of subjects. Again, Archie Miller doesn't have a lot to say. Not a lot of press conferences, not a lot of availabilities to hear him speak. And so when you do get to hear him in August, you listen, and lots of good things last night that will give us lots to talk about on this program today and moving forward really for the rest of the week. But also, I like the timing of this Evansville event. I have no idea if it's going to be something that continues each year or if this was a one-shot thing and done. But the schedule came out. The conference schedule came out. The roster's been finalized and released. There were some staff changes announced earlier in the week as well, some minor additions. In addition, of course, to the big announcement last week that Mike Roberts would be taking the third coaching spot. But good timing, and really, I think, has everybody extra amped up today for the season. So lots to talk about with Archie Miller from this opportunity to hear him speak last night. Jeff Rabjohns was in Evansville, and he's going to join us after the commercial break to talk more about some of the things that Archie had to say last night. We'll talk some Jerome Hunter. We'll talk about the schedule for this year and a lot more. So stay with us. Jeff Rabjohn's next. More IU basketball on tap with Archie's comments from last night after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back, and Jeff Rabjohns of Peaks.com is with us. Jeff was on the road last night down in the pocket city of Evansville to hear Archie Miller's speech at the Shoulders Family Commons at Evansville Harrison High School, and also the media availability that was before Archie's talk last night. Jeff, you cover this stuff day in and day out. You're familiar with all the headlines, all the topics, all the situations. So I'll start with this. What was the biggest thing, most interesting comment to you Archie Miller made last night, whether it was in the media availability portion or the speech, the 51-minute speech, I should add, to the IU fans that gathered down at Evansville last night?
Yeah, I actually thought the biggest thing was when he went through two things I would put at the top line. Number one, when he went through each player and kind of delineated what he thought their likely role would be. That was pretty good, and it was pretty detailed. The other thing was that the 2020 recruiting class could be 4 to 6 players. And obviously, on paper, they have 2 scholarships left. They've signed 2, have 2 left on paper. But if there's a chance that it goes to 6, that brings a whole another group of recruits into play. So those are the 2 things that I thought were the most interesting. The Jerome Hunter stuff, I mean, that stuff I've known for a month. So, you know, the audience might put that in number one, but nothing has changed with Jerome Hunter for well over a month. And we can dive into exactly why if you want to. So that's why, to me, kind of the breakdown of what's key for each player and then the fact that the 2020 class could be 4 to 6 players, those are the headlines to me.
Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com. Let's do that. Let's go right to Jerome Hunter. Lots of interest, obviously, in whether he's going to be able to suit up and play this year. And it's really a hard thing to talk about. I'm sure it's a hard thing for you to write about because it's a lower leg injury. Nothing ever has officially been said by the school. There are rumors out there about what the condition is, but we got to be very careful when we talk about it. That said, it's even more confusing, I think, for fans because there are rumors out there as well, and they've heard things and have ideas about what could be going on. But on the other hand, you see a picture of him in a sand pit over the summer working out with other IU players, and then you hear that he's participating in workouts and he's doing as much as he can do. So obviously he's active. He's not laid up with his leg, you know, raised or elevated or anything like that. He is active. He's doing, it sounds like, a lot, but still, according to Coach Miller last night, on a very clear plan from doctors. Talk a little bit more about that. And again, it's kind of a tough thing to do.
Sure. Yeah. Let me try to be helpful as far as like the questions, because a lot of fans, what I hear is, if he can work out, why can't they just say he's cleared to play in the games? Which is a great question. And probably the fundamental questions people have right now. The basic answer to that is this. Being cleared to play 5-on-5 in an open gym during summer, which he did play in some 5-on-5 stuff in July, being cleared to lift weights, being cleared to do other weight room type workouts, that's completely different than being cleared to play in a full contact, full combat, completely intense Big Ten college basketball game, high major college basketball game, which are 40 minutes long. So what you have is a situation where the activity level has slowly increased. The intensity level has kind of had some levels of increasing here and there, but nothing like what's about to happen, which is the official fall program. So you have a guy who's been allowed a little more activity, and then you check during and after and make sure your body's okay. Okay, let you do that same amount for a week or so. checking each day and checking after each day. Okay, you're good with that, okay? You did, let's say what you did was a, let's say it was a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10. Okay, next week maybe they'll let you do a 4. And I'm using some general parameters here, obviously. Okay, let you do that, check everything. There has to get to a point in time where he is allowed to do full contact, full combat, completely intense practices for a sustained period of time. Not for 10 minutes, not play open gym for 20 minutes, but we're talking about full combat, full contact, completely intense major college basketball practices for probably, I think they're going to want to see 90 minutes to 2 hours. And they're going to want to see his body be completely fine during, completely fine after, and completely fine the next day. And then, okay, that's okay. And if that's the case, okay, great. You did it one time. We're not clearing you for a whole season just because you did it one time. You have to do it the next day and the day after that. And it's going to have to reach a level of, again, going back to, let's say he's been at a 3 or 4 on a scale of 1 to 10 intensity, it's going to have to be at a 9 or 10, and it's going to have to be at a 9 or 10 over a sustained period of time, and he's going to need his body checked during the activity and after and the next day over that sustained period of time. So that's the big difference between, yeah, he can play in open gyms. Yeah, he can play 5-on-5. Yeah, he can go work out with Cliff Marshall, versus he is cleared to play in major college basketball games. And that's also why this whole process was going to take time, because you can't slowly walk up the intensity level. You can't go from 1 to 10 in May or June or even July or even early August. It takes time to walk somebody with a certain condition up that ladder, and they're going to continue walking him up that ladder. As long as he does not have setbacks. Now, if he has a setback, they're going to push the pause button. They're going to push the pause button hard, and they're going to push the pause button fast. Jerome Hunter's health is the priority here. But if he keeps progressing, they're just going to keep walking him up the ladder. He's going to need to get way up there on the intensity contact scale and stay there for a reasonable amount of time. But if he does that, at that point in time, then he would be cleared to play.
Jeff Rabjohns.
I hope that all makes some sense.
Yeah, for sure. Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com. Again, we're talking about primarily topics from last night that Archie Miller discussed in Evansville. Archie also took some questions from the audience at the end of, again, it was about a 51-minute speech where he covered all sorts of ground. Other things from last night, he really talked a lot about Mike Roberts and his role as an assistant coach. I think, in fact, you asked him about that, asked Coach Miller about that maybe in the press conference. But it sounds like that is a good fit, and obviously, as you would expect, someone that just hired a guy to do, Archie seems very confident that Coach Roberts is going to be able to come in and fill some of the voids for the program, and that assistant coaching spot's vacated by the departure of Ed Schilling.
Yeah, I think there's several things that Archie likes about Mike Roberts. One of which, he's tough and willing to get in the trenches and do the work in recruiting. And recruiting results are sexy and cool and fun. Recruiting is grinding. Being on the phone with players, with the parents, the high school coach, with their AU coach, with their aunt, their uncle, their grandparent, their whatever. Whoever is involved, building those relationships. That is absolutely, behind the scenes, the most unglamorous work there is in college basketball. And you have to be willing to do that every day, and you got to be willing to do that knowing a good rate of return is about getting about 1 out of every 6, 7, 8 guys that you want. That's just the math of recruiting. And it's not pretty, and it's not easy, and it's not glamorous, but you got to do it. And the other thing I'll tell you about Mike Roberts is that dude loves Indiana University. That dude is insanely excited to be back, as he has told some people, home, unquote, and get to work for IU. He understands IU. He played there. He lives it. He breathes it. He believes it. And he is absolutely excited to get to work. And that's another component that Archie really likes, you know, guys who really, really, really want to be there and, you know, jump in with enthusiasm, excitement, and energy every day. And so I would say that that's the other level of it. And then I think a third thing that's interesting is that, you know, he has the ability to coach the game. I primarily started off his area of expertise was big men, but that was early. He still has that, but he's added to that. I certainly would not pigeonhole him as big man coach. Now, he can coach bigs, but he was the associate head coach for the past 7 years at North Carolina Greensboro, a program where they went from 9 wins to the past 3 seasons, winning 25, 27, and 29 games. And he was primarily the primary recruiter for most of those players. And as I think as everybody knows, getting to the NCAA tournament from a one-bid league is probably the biggest tightrope you have to walk in Division I college basketball. So he knows how to coach the game. He understands the recruiting is a grind, and his enthusiasm for being back is unbelievable. I mean, he was at the Archie Miller Victor Oladipo Fantasy Camp over the weekend, and I knew a number of people who were there, and everybody kept texting me, "Abby, Mike Roberts is just – he's smiling everywhere he goes. He's talking about how happy he is to be back. He's excited." And I've known Mike for a while, and I can tell you that there's no question he is incredibly excited. He knows what IU basketball should look like, and he's very, very willing and actually wants to put in the work to get it there.
Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com, with us talking about Archie Miller's stop last night down at Evansville at Harrison High School. Here's an interesting little quote from Archie, and I'll let you expand on it. Talking about the 2019-2020 schedule for the Hoosiers, he said, quote, "Our schedule is built for the numbers, built for the NCAA tournament." And as you look at the non-conference games, Jeff, now that the schedule is officially out, it came out Friday around noon, you know, there are some obviously great, exciting non-conference matchups on there. Many that we knew about long before the schedule was officially published. But, you know, there are a handful of the, I don't want to call them bottom dwellers, but the low to mid Division I teams that don't have a connection to the Indiana, you know, state. They're not an in-state school. They don't really raise the excitement level much. Is that what he's talking about when he talks about built for the numbers, built for the NCAA tournament, that he's trying to construct a schedule that gives Indiana – the best opportunity to get the minimums it needs to get in the NCAA tournament?
I mean, when he says built for the numbers, he's talking about the which metrics the NCAA selection committee gave the most weight to last year. Because the NCAA tournament selection committee basically is the same group this year that it was last year. And one of the things that they did last year is they value total number of wins far, far more than strength of schedule. In fact, they said that they were going to weigh strength of schedule heavily, and I don't know if they had a change in heart. Some coaches are like, "Look, they straight lied to everybody." I'm like, I don't know if I want to say that, but they value total number of wins versus strength of schedule. Because if you look at some of the mid-majors that made it, they had a high number of wins. They had maybe one quadrant one win, and maybe one quadrant two win, and Indiana had like 12 or 13 combined quad one and quad two wins last year. So a whole lot of major programs, and Indiana's one of them, looked at that and said, "Wait a minute, if you're not going to allow, you know, 19-win teams from major conferences who played incredibly tough schedules into the NCAA tournament, why in the hell are we killing our kids? That makes no sense. If you're going to value total number of wins, we're going to go for total number of wins." And a number of schools dialed it back a lot more than IU did, because Indiana has no mid-major foes after November. I haven't looked at everybody, but I have yet to find another – I still got a couple more conferences to go through. But I have yet to find another major conference team that has no mid-major foes after November. So IU kind of like they start off the schedule – with November, with mid-major opponents, and there are some really good ones in there. South Dakota State's good. Princeton's good. Princeton's got a kid who's going to be all-conference out there who had, you know, a number of offers. So when he says
to the scheduling for the numbers, that's what he's talking about. What metrics is the NCAA, has the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee shown that it's going to put the most emphasis on? It's on wins. Now, the other thing is, when you look at the non-conference strength of schedule, it'll be interesting to see where it is at the end of the year, because Indiana's non-conference this year, on paper, if you look at the previous year's metrics, it looks a lot like what Maryland's looked like last year. And Maryland's non-conference strength of schedule, I can't remember, his non-conference or overall strength of schedule, ended up being around 38, which is really, really solid. And, you know, if your strength of schedule overall ends up, you know, around 38 or so, you know, you should be fine, assuming you win a number of games, obviously. So that's basically what he's talking about there as far as the schedule for the numbers and for the NCAA tournament.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Great stuff, Jeff. I thought just a tremendous stop last night. Any word down in Evansville last night if that could become an annual stop for Coach Miller and for IU basketball fans together?
Yeah, you know, I know that's being discussed, but right now I don't think it's gone more than the discussion phase. Obviously, Pat Shoulders, a longtime Indiana University trustee, very, very involved IU alum. You know, it's his family that runs that Shoulders family lecture series. And certainly they're incredibly involved in their city of Evansville as well, as you know. You know, I got a chance to talk to Pat for just a little bit. Did not get a chance to talk to him about that. But I did get a chance to talk to a couple other people about some things. And they said, you know, some of these things are being discussed. Probably it won't be until after the season when they really decide, you know, how they're going to do some of these things. You know, let's be really honest here. Let's live in the real world. Christian Lander, 5-star point guard, class of 2021, is from Evansville, Indiana. Getting the head coach at Indiana to Evansville, out in public, speaking to people, never a bad idea. So now, is that the reason for this? No, of course not. But I'm just saying that is a peripheral issue, or a peripheral reason, peripheral benefit. So let's just be honest about that. But I do think that IU would like to have, you know, some sort of opportunity for Archie to speak in the southern part of the state, speak in the middle part of the state, the Indy area, speak maybe, you know, a little further north, maybe Fort Wayne, something like that, on an annual basis. It doesn't mean it's going to be every city every year, but something along those lines, at least some sort of rotation, is being discussed right now. That I do know.
Got it. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Jeff, great coverage of things last night. You can read more. You can watch videos from last night at Pigs.com, and we appreciate the chance to catch up with you today here on the radio.
Hey, man, my pleasure. Always good talking to you, Matt.
For sure. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. To a commercial break we go. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. He's in studio with me next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Wednesday show. Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune is joining me. We always talk local headlines and plenty to get to this time of year. High school football underway. Week one is in the books. Week two coming up this Friday. Lots of fun, especially early in the season as you try to figure out who's who and who's going to be maybe the top team or two in the area. But going back to week one, in addition to some good performances and good games to get things started for the area, Craig, how about the weather?
The weather?
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
comfortable.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I went for a nice run yesterday, and yeah, absolutely. It's you know, it does feel like fall's coming in, and it feels like football weather and that sort of thing. And last Friday night did as well on week one. So yeah,
I can remember week ones early in the season. This very well could happen again in a couple weeks, but you worry if the game's going to be able to be played because of the heat index and things like that. Instead, Friday night, some of the days after that have just been absolutely comfortable.
I guess we got that heat wave out of the way right before football season, and you know, they probably had some they had about a week there where practices were getting moved back later in the evening and that sort of thing. And, you know, so, yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous right now.
Let's hope that it stays away as football back and underway here in southern Indiana. Anything catch your eye week one? Obviously, we had some teams win. We had some teams lose. I still feel like week two, week three will tell us a lot more about some of our local teams and how things could potentially go. But standouts, headlines, top performers, things that caught your eye in week one of football.
Well, you know, I think the New Albany performance is one that stands out. You know, it was one of the more you know, productive offensive games with Winford, with, you mentioned earlier, Keontre Winford, you know, with the big performance, 100 yards rushing, 100 yards passing, and, you know, what's his season going to look like and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's just, but it's also Evansville, Harrison, how strong a team is that, you know what I mean? So, yeah, New Albany's going to have a bigger test at Castle, I got to think, and even though Castle's coming off of a convincing loss up at Bloomington. So, you know, what else? Providence being able to, you know, put together 300-yard rushing performance week one over at Bethlehem. That was a interesting outcome there for sure. And as they head into a big matchup with Floyd and then Silver Creek in week three, you know, so can Providence hang with Floyd Central? I think it's possible that could be a pretty good even matchup even. So, you know, they've also got Charlestown week five. So, you know, and then Charlestown, you know, their offense being shut down by Silver Creek for the most part, other than one big Marion Luke's play that certainly stands out. And, you know, they're going to want to, they've got obviously another very tough matchup with Brownstown here this week. So can they get that offense opened up a little bit more and, you know, bounce back with a huge, with what would be a huge win, obviously.
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, with us. You left off a little thing that got me excited on Friday night. Clarksville, oh so close to a win on the road at Scottsburg.
Oh, man, I thought they were going to get that. I mean, I was up there for the first half, and, gosh, you know, Keyshawn Miner had a couple of really nice pass plays, an early touchdown, a 30-yarder that got them into territory as they put a drive together to take the lead in the second quarter. You know, I tell you what, though, you know, Scottsburg is certainly not a traditional football power, but they had some size. You know, they had a couple kids at 350 pounds on the line, and, you know, Clarksville was holding its own on the line, you know, despite that. And so a lot of encouraging signs there with, you know, Davon Fuqua didn't get a whole lot going as the Scottsburg defense was very much keyed on him. But they certainly showed some reasons that they might be able to get a win. And, you know, they face a Salem team that at home that, you know, ought to be another close ball game for the Generals.
All right, we mentioned Floyd Central at Providence. It's our Southern Indiana game of the week here on the Big X. And obviously Providence coming off of a win on the road down in Bethlehem. Floyd Central coming off a loss. But it's hard to get, I think, a real accurate read about Floyd Central right now, a team that we think by the end of the year could be a competitor for that 5A sectional. But going against Mayo, it's a tough read because they are so dominant in high school football in Louisville, 6A defending champion, and just really, really good.
Right, and it's obviously tough when you start out week one like that because – you want your kids to build some confidence and that sort of thing. And but, you know, from talking to some of those kids, you know, prior to the season, it seems like a confident group that, you know, can build off of what it did last year and had a solid scrimmage against Charlestown. And, you know, it's definitely going to continue to get better and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think we'll definitely see, you know, them and a pretty solid offensive performance and you know, Providence, I think Providence has a lot of two-way players. Maybe that's a factor in this game, but, you know, you just never know for sure. But, you know, as Coach Larry Dennison said preseason, you know, we're going to have to be warriors, and I think, you know, they've probably got a lot of kids that are ready to prepared for that and prepared to compete, and you know, certainly are going to want to put up a good showing there.
Greg Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Other week two games that stand out to you, kind of going through the list. Seymour at Jeffersonville. I'm interested in New Albany at Castle as well. Castle coming off a loss last week. Could New Albany start 0-2? How does Silver Creek and Salem go? And really, another tough, tough challenge for Charlestown as they host Brownstown. Can Clarksville get a win? They host Pekin on Friday. Those are some things as you look at week two.
Right, yeah, Eastern coming down to Clarksville. You know, that's they're coming off of, what, a 38-8 loss, I think it was. And you know, that certainly could be a good ball game. The Seymour, what did they do last week? They're coming off of a win, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, it could be a good ball game. I think, you know, Jeff certainly showed some things at the defensive end. And, man, I was on the sideline for some of that game as well. They've got some kids that can come up and deliver some hits. So it was a fun defense to watch, but they gave up a couple big plays too in that ball game. So, you know, they've got to get the offense rolling, get the ground game going to help set up Wimberly there in the passing game, and that's definitely an interesting matchup. You want to see them try and get that first win for Coach Isaac Parker. So,
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. A quick basketball note: I mentioned this earlier in the week. Brandon Northern of Silver Creek gets a scholarship offer, his first Division I offer. He's going to be a fun player to watch in the coming years.
Absolutely. Huge key for Silver Creek. And I talked with him and Coach Hoffman over the summer, and, yeah, very excited to hear about that.
Greg, thanks for coming in. Always great to read your coverage each day at the newsandtribune.com/sports. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday show. Back with you Thursday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.